Good morning. It is certainly good to be together in the beauty of this sacred space once again on a Sunday morning to worship, to be with one another, and to, most importantly, encounter God. A welcome to everyone, but a special welcome to those of you who might be with us for the first time. If this is your first time worshiping here at St. John's, I invite you to look at the end of your pews to find a card that looks like this, and to take a moment to fill it out, and then as you are exiting this morning, to place it in the basket that's right next to Robin in the back there, so that we can learn more about you and you can learn more about us. I trust that all of you know, whether visitor or regular, that no matter who you are, no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are, and most importantly, to share God's love with you. So welcome. I do have a few important announcements this morning, the first of which is about the Urban Promise Pack the Backpack event, which is a part of our VBS Volunteer Believe Serve program this summer. That event is taking place this Wednesday evening in Assembly Hall downstairs. There are ample donations on the other side of this wall in the library. I've had to rearrange and move to carts and all sorts of stuff. So I did make some room on the table if there are any incoming donations this week. And the list for those donations is in your bulletin. And now the announcement that I do not want to make, but I need to. As many, if not all of you know, Reverend Sue passed away last Thursday morning, surrounded by loved ones and of course covered by the prayers of so many. The outpouring of love and memories since then and in the days leading up to it through Facebook, emails, texts, and in-person conversations has been overwhelming and deeply moving. On behalf of Sue's family and also myself, we thank you for the love and care all along this journey, but especially now. Because this is a significant loss in our community, and because I truly believe clear communication is key, especially in circumstances like this, I do want to share with you plans and times for the calling times and for the service to celebrate Reverend Sue's life. There will be two opportunities to greet the family with calling times here in the sanctuary on both Thursday evening, August 11th, from 6 to 8 p.m., and then again before the service from 9 to 10:30 on Friday, August 12th. The service to celebrate Sue's life will take place on Friday at 11 a.m. here in the sanctuary. Be mindful, as I've been sharing with people, beloved as Sue is and was, the crowd gathering at church on Friday will be quite large, so please plan and park accordingly, and most importantly, offer grace to the family who will do their best to greet as many people as possible while also attending to their own needs of the day. Belt and suspenders, as Reverend Sue would say. This information has appeared on Facebook, on our church website, in the midst of Sue's obituary, and was also included in a letter sent out to our entire distribution list this past week. It goes without saying that we feel a void among us, and there is so much flooding our hearts and minds in the midst of these days. Memories, sentiments, condolences. As an outlet for some of that, our Stamper group has offered to give a handmade card to whoever would like one. There's also some for kids. In fact, they gave me examples to show. So here's an example of one. And then there's some blank ones for kids with some stickers to fill out. They will be in the library following the service that you can choose a card you would like. These cards were made originally to be created and filled out at Reverend Sue's retirement picnic, which of course we did not get to celebrate, but they were cards made with Sue in mind for her, and so we wanted to honor that, and so they will still go to her in a sense. So you can take them home with you and fill them with memories and messages of hope for the family. Bring them back to the memorial service, or you can bring them back in days following that, and we will be sure that they get to the Bertolette family. So Marge Jewell and Joanne Sine will be in the library following the service. So if you'd like to grab one of those, which I suggest you do, make your way that direction following our service this morning. Today's service will unfold as usual, and I'm once again giving thanks to Reverend Elaine Ely for her presence as she guest preaches once more. And thank you also to Sarah Hogan, who is providing our children's message today. An important reminder that next week, August 14th, we will gather together for one service at 9:30. I believe it will be deeply meaningful and healing to share in communion together as one body after such a difficult time for our community. So please gather at 9:30 next week. We will be back to traditional pew communion for the first time in quite a while, and it will just be good to be together. Okay, I believe those are all of the announcements this morning. A lot to take in, a lot to hold as we enter into worship, but I do invite you to take a deep breath with me, to be very aware of God's presence among us, a presence that fills this place, and as we breathe in, fills each one of us. As we take time to exhale, truly exhale, work to set aside all that is worrying you, all that is distracting you, all that is busying your brain, so that you can be truly here, truly present, truly open to what God has to offer us this morning. Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Amen.
Thank you.
Our theme this morning, appropriately, is living into the promise. We use that living into phrase quite a lot around here. Whether we are living into our welcoming statement, living into our stewardship theme for the year, living into our identity as an open and affirming congregation, living into God's forgiveness, living into all of the many things we value and commit ourselves to. But I wonder, how many of us really know what that actually means? What does it look like to live into something? Why not just live around it or live beside it? What makes living into it different? When I use that phrase, what I mean is that each and every part of us, our whole lives, reflect that which we are committed to, that which we value and believe in, making sure that there is congruence between what it looks like we're about and what we're actually about, what our lives say we love. God promises us love and grace and forgiveness. So when we talk about living into that promise, then God's love, God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's promise must become a part of our lives, a part of who we are in a very real way. It's about allowing God to make a mark, letting God change the way we think and act and hope and speak and treat those around us. I have to believe that God wants to be in our lives rather than just around or beside them. And I have to believe that God is always more concerned about what we are actually doing than what we say we're doing or what it looks like we're doing. Sure, we know words matter and perceptions matter, but we are not simply a people going through the motions or speaking into the promise. We are living into it. So as we seek to live into who we are and who God calls us to be, may we also live into the promise that God's love and grace go with us as we do, shaping our very lives to reflect more and more God's love and hope. May we encounter God here and now, even as we gather together to worship in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join me as we confess our sins together by praying the prayer that is printed in our bulletins. Let us pray. Loving God, we long for things that are certain and guaranteed, and yet life so rarely goes as we plan. We confess that when we hear about your promises of love and grace, it is hard for us to imagine something so steadfast, so dependable, so unchanging, and we question whether or not this promise is worth putting our faith in and changing our lives for. Remind us that it is, even as we do our best to hold loosely onto the fleeting things of this world. Help us to cling to you, knowing that when we do, our hands, hearts, and lives are filled to the brim. Amen. Friends, when we confess our sins, when we dare to claim our mistakes and ask for God's help, forgiveness is given. We are a people who are forgiven. Our hearts are made ready to receive the love and the mercy and the grace that God has for each and every one of us. So may we accept those gifts. May we live into them in ways that make all the difference, this day and every day. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading this morning is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, and then skipping ahead a bit to verses 8 through 16. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land that he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, with Sarah's involvement, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeing a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better homeland, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. And our gospel reading this morning is from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 25 through 31. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way. As always, we ask for God's wisdom to shine a light on these sacred words. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. So today's theme, living into the promise, what exactly do we think that word means? There's many, many definitions. Webster's Dictionary or Wikipedia, for those younger ones in the audience and congregation today, defines promise as something of a statement that absolutely will happen or be done. We make promises every day, don't we? We make promises to ourselves. We make promises to each other. We make promises to the utility companies that will pay our bills. We make promises to the library that will return our books. There's also many symbols of promises that we have throughout our lives. One of the probably most recognized and most universal is this. It's a ring. It's a wedding ring. It's something that two people exchange who are in love and promise to each other that they will love each other for their lives, no matter the challenges they might face, no matter others' opinions of themselves. They promise each other to each other and to God for their lives. A couple other symbols that we come across of promises. Postage stamp. Probably small for a bunch of you to see, but here it is on the envelope. This is a promise that the U.S. Postal Service will deliver our letter, our bill, our correspondence. Sometimes. A signature or something you might sign, a grown-up might sign, promising that they will pay a bill or promising that they will be somewhere. One of God's most recognizable symbols is a rainbow. This little rainbow my daughter got at a festival here in Lansdale back in June, I think it was. God uses the rainbow as a promise to us that he is always there. He is always there to forgive us. He is always there to love us, no matter what. He does not waver on his promises. The rainbow shows us that. It shows us the colors of hope, the colors of love, the colors of faithfulness, and the colors of grace, all things that God shows us. So as a child, what do we promise? Well, myself being a child one time and having my own, these are some of the promises I hear a lot. I promise I'll listen. I promise I'll clean my room. I promise I'll leave my brother alone. I promise I'll take care of it, asking for a pet. I promise I'll do my chores. I promise, I promise, I promise. Now, a child's promise is not like our promises or like God's promises. They have the heart of the promise there, but they don't always have the follow through. And that's okay. That's why we have God. He always promises and always follows through on those promises. So what does he promise us? He promises to love us, forgive us, comfort us, listen to us through prayer, and be faithful to us. And none of these come with any strings attached. He doesn't say, oh, I'll love you if. Oh, I'll forgive you if. It is never ending. It is always. So wouldn't it be awesome if we could be as faithful as God is in keeping our promises? That would be really cool. But we all have our mistakes, and sometimes it's just so hard to keep those promises, no matter how hard we try. God helps to give us the patience to know that he does keep his promises and to help us to learn how to keep ours. It may take some time, but he does. Nothing is too difficult for God. And if these past few weeks have shown us anything, it is that God is taking care of us and listening to us and keeping our beloved Reverend Sue in his arms. So the next time you make a promise, will you keep it? We know God will. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for always keeping your promises to us. Please help guide us in our faithfulness to keep our promises to you and to others. Amen. And let us now pray the prayer that God taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.